Welcome to Talk of Ages, where we discuss issues related to seniors and retirement. Today, we're going to be talking about assisted living and memory care. Here's our executive director, Edward Burton.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Talk of Ages. And today, we are very excited to have in our studios Amanda Ruprelia, and she is our head concierge and really our leader of first impressions for everyone that comes through the door at Waterstone. So Amanda, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Edward. I'm so excited to be here. A little bit about me. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, born and raised. Lived there for about 20 years until I met my future husband, who was military. So the next 8 years, we traveled all around the East Coast, finally deciding to make Greenville our home to raise our two boys. So I'm so excited to be here. I love Greenville. It's just a wonderful area.
Yep. So Amanda's been with us at Waterstone for a while now and has made a big impact on first impressions for people that come in and the greeting that they get. It makes it a very home-like environment when people come in to see us. So Amanda, we're glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
You know, today I thought it would be great to talk about 10 early signs and detections for Alzheimer's disease. And just very quickly, you know, Alzheimer's disease is an epidemic. And as the baby boomers get older, we're seeing a real epidemic in this country with Alzheimer's disease. And it's really the only cause of death in the top 10 reasons for death in America that cannot be prevented, cured, or really even slowed down. Almost two-thirds of Americans with Alzheimer's disease are also women. I did not know that. But one in three seniors die with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. So when you think about a third of all deaths in this country, at least in some aspect, have an aspect of dementia or Alzheimer's, that's really a scary fact to think about, isn't it?
It is quite scary, especially having it mostly being women.
Yeah. Amanda, many people are not even aware that Alzheimer's is actually the sixth cause of death in the United States. More than 5 million people today are living with this disease. So let's go ahead and get right in and talk about those 10 signs of early detection. So number one, memory loss that disrupts daily life. So forgetting important tasks, leaving the stove on, forgetting to pay bills, forgetting to do yard work. Many of these signs that, at least for us, would seem very apparent when you go into someone's house, that you see bills piled up on the table, or yards that seem unkempt, or food that has gone out of date. Many of those signs to us may on the surface seem as just disorganized or a little bit forgetful, but you need to pay very close attention to those early detection signs, such as the things of daily life. You know, a lot of times, especially in cooking, you'll see someone forget to do a familiar recipe that they've known for years, never had it written down. Like grandma's recipe, she always knew how to add just that little touch of something to make that casserole. And all of a sudden one day you notice that she is having trouble completing that recipe that she has done for years without even blinking. The other thing that you can see, number two, is challenges in planning or solving problems. Simple crossword puzzles, paying bills, simple calculations that to us would seem like very trivial things. You'll notice that planning, solving problems, keeping up with the house, that's another big sign. So Amanda, tell us about number three.
So number three is difficulty in completing familiar tasks at home, work, or leisure. So this could be, you know, balancing your checkbook, missing some numbers, maybe paying a bill twice in the same month for the same bill, not realizing it, you know, having some trouble at work, not being able to function properly. So it's very important to keep an eye out for things like that. And number four is confusion with time or place. So like losing track of dates, you know, maybe your child's birthday or doctor's appointment that you have regularly, not being able to remember sending that birthday card.
Yeah, so you'll hear like that. Don't you hear a lot of people say sometimes like, no, I can't remember what day it is?
Yes, they will.
And they'll think that it's Tuesday or Wednesday. The other thing about time and place is, sometimes it involves meals too. So like they'll say, what did I have for lunch? Or you'll say, what did you have for lunch, mom or dad? And they'll go, well, I don't remember what I had for lunch, or already had lunch. And in reality, they had not had lunch. Have you seen that before?
I have. I'll see, you know, that they just came down from eating breakfast and they're thinking it's noontime already. Or they'll say, I haven't eaten breakfast yet. And I'll say, no, mom, you know, you just had breakfast 30 minutes ago. So that is something you really need to look out for as an early detection.
Number five, Amanda, is having trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships. So street signs, you know, signs that just have visual images on them. Sometimes cognitively they forget what literally what stop means, or yellow or slow down or green. That's why a lot of times you'll see, unfortunately, wrecks that happen because of a red light that was not noticed, or a red light that was not followed. That's a cause of a lot of wrecks. And you always get that call, you know, or you always dread that call, rather, that says, so-and-so was in a wreck. This is what happened. They ran a light, or they weren't paying attention, or they ran into the back of somebody at a light. You always hear about those calls that people get. And usually that's because of a spatial lack of spatial recognition for visual images and signage. Number six, another one, is new problems with words in speaking and writing. So an example of this would be having trouble following or joining a conversation, calling things by the wrong name, or calling a watch like a clock or a hand clock. You know, one of the unfortunate things is, the other thing that you'll notice is sometimes they won't even start a conversation because they will know something's wrong. I can't put my words together. I can't do sentences that would flow well together or seem like a very natural conversation. They seem a lot of times sometimes fragmented in their speaking. So they'll say a few words and then stop. You'll notice that they kind of think about the next sentence they're going to do. So you having just normal conversations are very difficult for people with early Alzheimer's.
So number seven, Edward, is misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace steps. So maybe putting their keys in an unusual spot, you know, walking to get the mail and putting it in a drawer instead of on the counter. Maybe accusing people of stealing things that they think is theirs, but it's really not, because they just don't understand.
Yeah, paranoia is, and it's not listed on our 10 today, but certainly paranoia is one of the biggest issues when you have early Alzheimer's, because you know something's wrong. You can't quite tell that something's wrong, but you just inside, you know, something's just a little bit off.
You just don't
off.
Feel right.
Yeah, so when you misplace things, you think to yourself, well, I know that I didn't, you know, misplace that. And so you do. You become paranoid of other people and people stealing from you.
That is true. And number eight is decrease or poor judgment. So poor judgment with dealing with money, pay less attention to grooming or keeping themselves clean. So maybe forgetting that they didn't take a shower today. In their mind, you know, they took a shower 3 days ago and that day is still playing in their head. So they haven't realized they haven't took a shower in 3 days.
Yeah. And then the last two, number nine, is withdrawing from work or social activities. Because they know something is wrong, a lot of times they will withdraw as an avoidance technique, or to avoid, unfortunately, embarrassment that they, you know, they know that they're not connecting with people like they used to for fear of embarrassment. So, and then number 10 is changes in mood and personality. Knowing inside that something's changing within your mind will cause a lot of frustration, anxiety, and many instances, anger. That unfortunately is transferred to people that they love a lot of times. So, yeah, they may become confused, suspicious, as we talked about before, depressed, fearful, and anxious. All of those feelings intertwine when this early disease process is going on. So,
yes, they become very moody. So, that's a really good sign to look out for.
Yeah. You know, if you have any other questions regarding these 10 things, or if we can help you, our director of memory care, Peggy Masterson, who's been on this show before, has several certificates that make her a perfect fit for our memory care community and to help you with any questions that you may have. She's actually she's certified under the National Council of Certified Dementia Practitioners, so she's very well versed in helping you out, and we'll be glad to do that.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Walk to End Alzheimer's, which we are actually the Promise Garden sponsors of 2018. That walk will take place October 6th at Flora Field in downtown Greenville, so we hope everybody can come out and support the cause.
Thank you.
So Amanda, welcome back. And it's the second part of our show, and we're going to continue talking about the importance of Alzheimer's awareness. And, you know, in this state, Amanda, at least in South Carolina, there are a number of facts that I think that our listeners would want to know, and especially one of those being the cost for Alzheimer's and what kind of costs are incurred, you know, in this state. $573 million in Medicaid funds are attributed to folks with Alzheimer's. 40.2% change in cost from 2018 to 2025. So Amanda, that's over a 40% jump in cost from where we are today to what, 5-6 years down the road. That's a lot.
So, that's scary to think about.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, a lot of that is, I guess the contribution of the baby boomers getting older. That number is going to increase, I think, exponentially over the next 10 to 20 years. And so what we're talking about today is even going to be more exacerbated, you know, 10, 15 years down the road. So each person from a Medicare standpoint per year is over $23,000 per person is spent on Alzheimer's care and research. The number of deaths from Alzheimer's in this state alone a couple of years ago was over 2,400. A year was over 2,400. South Carolina had the sixth leading cause of death in South Carolina that was attributed to Alzheimer's. And believe it or not, our state, unfortunately, right now has the highest Alzheimer's death rate in America. And since 2000, there's been 181% increase in Alzheimer's deaths in this state alone.
So to put those numbers in perspective, right now, there are over 89,000 people over the age of 65 living in South Carolina that are suffering from this disease. And what's more alarming is that by 2025, that's just 6 years from now, there's estimated to be 120,000 people that will suffer. It's very scary numbers.
Yeah. So, Amanda, have you ever had a family member that suffered from that disease or an experience that you had that you personally have dealt with?
I actually have. This year, I lost my great uncle to the disease, my grandmother's only brother.
And so you've seen, I guess you saw a lot of these things that we've talked about today. Unfortunately, you saw those things firsthand happen.
I have. I saw the toll it took not only on him, but the family members. My grandmother, who would cry, not wanting to call her own brother because he just wouldn't remember parts of their lives growing up, parts of the family members that we have. It was just very hard on her emotionally.
It's very taxing on caregivers. And in fact, the number of caregivers in this state last year that were helping others, like your grandmother with Alzheimer's, was over 300,000. So you put that number in perspective and you think about the number of people that take a very family approach to trying to take care of that loved one. That equates to almost 352 million hours of unpaid care. Unpaid. So that's when someone gets home from work, that's giving up another job, that's time spent away from normal day-to-day life, unpaid, that is trying to help out a family member or a friend in need. A lot of times in those home situations, there are caregivers that don't really know how to properly care for that loved one. And so many times that turns into sometimes a doctor's visit, but sometimes it turns into an emergency room visit. And there's been a study that shows that over, I guess in 2015 or 16, there was over 1,500 emergency room visits per 1,000 people with dementia. So that's a very scary fact regarding hospitalizations. And really, once someone goes to the hospital with dementia and they give that diagnosis and that disease progresses, the readmission rate for people going back to the hospital over and over and over again for different problems is over 20%. And that's a very high number. And so with that, let's talk about the Walk to End Alzheimer's that is in Greenville this year. Actually, that walk is held annually all over the country in over 600 communities nationwide. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is the world's largest event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research. And of course, Amanda, I know that we actually have a team that's walking, the Waterstone Warriors.
We do.
That is walking, and we actually have our own website and our own page set up for donations. And certainly if we don't contribute to our page, we would certainly want you as you listen to this show, to think about donating to either the Alzheimer's Association or to that cause, or even to another team's page, because that is a huge event that is estimated to bring in over $300,000 in donations to help research and awareness of a disease in this state that is progressively getting worse and reaching epidemic portions. And as part of the walk to end Alzheimer's in Greenville, South Carolina this year, Waterstone is so proud to be the Promise Garden sponsor for this 2018 walk. I think Amanda said earlier that this walk is taking place October the 6th at Floor Field in downtown Greenville. But Amanda, for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about what that sponsorship means, the Promise Garden sponsorship.
So the Promise Garden is a mission-focused experience which calls all participants to come together and make a commitment to fulfill the promise to remember, honor, and care,
right,
and also fight for Alzheimer's disease.
And the flowers are different colors, right?
They are different colors. Okay. You have four different colors to choose from.
Okay.
The blue, which represents somebody that is currently having Alzheimer's or dementia.
Okay.
Purple is for somebody who has lost a loved one to the disease. Yellow will represent someone who is currently supporting or caring for somebody. And orange is for everyone who supports the cause and vision of a world without Alzheimer's.
And so the different colors that I guess we'll see on the field, because each mm-hmm. participant will actually plant those flowers.
They will.
So it's really going to be almost a kaleidoscope of colors, because those reasons that people walk are diverse in nature, but everybody has a story, whether they are a caregiver or, like you said, they represent someone with Alzheimer's, they're currently supporting someone, or they've lost somebody to the disease. And so that's going to be a vast array of colors on that field that's going to touch a lot of people that day.
Well, not only will you be able to see all of the colors, but everybody will have the opportunity to write their own little message on the petals. So as you walk by and see the different colors, you can also read the messages that the loved ones are sharing with people at the walk.
Yeah, that's going to be a very powerful statement that day. And so we certainly hope, as we talk about this, and that you'll think about either participating in the walk or even becoming a sponsor or even forming your own team. It's just it's a big event in Greenville and very important to us at Waterstone that we're a part of that. So if you want more information about the walk, or if you need to get in touch with us to ask any of these questions that we've talked about thus far, make sure to give us a call at 864-605-7236. So I know, Amanda, that you're going to be walking with us that day, and that's going to be a special time for you, as well as a lot of folks on our team, whether they're a caregiver or someone that has lost or dealing with the disease currently. So our team's the Waterstone Warriors, and for the next couple of months, we're going to continue to raise money for awareness, and our team's going to have a lot of fun, and we hope that you will join us out there that day. So to kind of recap and kind of wrap up the show today, Peggy, who we talked about earlier, Amanda, actually, I think she's continuing to do a series of educational sessions that, to me, are very beneficial for families, our current families, or even folks who are not in our community but need to know more about Alzheimer's. You know, with her training, she has a series of educational sessions that she provides free of charge. And she is more than willing to come to church groups, to our community. But she'll regularly host those in the next couple of months. She'll be doing those at different locations. And so I feel like that I would be remiss without taking a couple of minutes just to talk about how important that is, that people get that kind of information. You get just a quick synopsis with us, but if you really want a great in-depth detail about the Alzheimer's disease process, about how you as a caregiver can benefit from learning the things that she has learned and able to pass on, and providing resources and outlets to folks that need a break, I think that's just a very important thing to bring up as well, about what we can provide and what Peggy in particular can provide with her education and educational series. Another thing that we can provide there at Waterstone, and we were talking about Peggy's education series that she did, Amanda, but, you know, respite stays are so important. We talked about the millions of hours that are spent with free care, quite frankly, free care that has been given by family members and friends day in, day out, 24 hours a day. that are provided at not only no cost, but there is a cost in terms of exhaustion and quite frankly, just burnout. Caregiver burnout is a rampant issue, especially with folks with dementia, and that person usually works a full-time job. They come home and their other job starts, which is the care for that loved one or friend that they care for. And so I would be remiss without mentioning, as we've had in past weeks, about the respite program that we have at Waterstone, where we can provide that caregiver with a break and that family with a much needed rest, whether it's a simple vacation that they need to go on or, you know, as long as it's planned out in advance, we most certainly can take care of that loved one and keep them safe and happy while you're gone as well. So,
yes, Edward, I've had the great privilege of meeting a lot of these wonderful families and residents who have come in for that respite stay. I mean, you should just see the sigh of relief when they're coming back to pick them up after that stay from a much-needed vacation. They're just so thankful. They thank us over and over how wonderful we are, how our staff is. And quite actually, we have a few more that come back and put more vacations on the books.
We have. I mean, it's been very rewarding to see that, because you can almost see just like a huge sigh of relief.
You do.
Not necessarily maybe when they drop them off, because that may be the first time that they've ever done that before. But when they come to pick them back up, or they come to take them back home to where they've been, you can actually see a little sigh of relief in that we've done a great job and we've done them a great service by providing them a much needed rest.
Absolutely.
So that they can be recharged to continue that caregiving that they've done for sometimes months or even years. So as we bring another episode of Talk of Ages to an end, I wanted to thank Amanda for being with us today. So Amanda, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us today and share. So,
well, thank you so much, Edward. The pleasure is all mine. I've really enjoyed it, learned a lot of information, and I hope you do too. Out there listening. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So if you have any further questions, please give Amanda or Amber or even Peggy a call, and they'll be glad to help you. Join us next week for another episode of Talk of Ages, and we look forward to having you listen in.
You've been listening to Talk of Ages. For more information on Waterstone on Augusta, visit our website, waterstoneonaugusta.com, or call us 864-605-7236. We invite you to join us again next Sunday at the same time for Talk of Ages.